kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
If you've ever resonated on hearing this often joked about comment that so many men make, it's made by men at, you know, you're having a couple of beers at a barbecue, you're having a joke at a side, you know, it's made in culture and films. And it's this idea that, you know, all women, can't live with them, can't live without them. It's this bittersweet relationship that we end up forming with the external feminine, with our queen, our goddesses, women in general. You know, there's this part of us yearns the sexual connection with them. The fire, the passion, the heat, this beautiful, amazing, liberating sexual union with them, where physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, energetically, you add in the words, you know, that sort of bliss and the whole entire spectrum of what that brings. And that is so beautiful as an experience. And yet it's like, can't live with them, can't live without them. There are major challenges that come up to living with them. You know, the weekend warrior, you know, and some guys get caught in that, and no right or wrong, you know, this sort of keeping relationships fresh. Long term, I can think of a friend of my wife's family. He's in his, I think, early 50s at this stage, but like he's been having hundreds of lovers down through the years. He keeps himself to himself. He keeps radical independence from deep committed relationships, and it's sort of like, you know, for a few nights only, and then onwards and upwards. And I believe, I don't know, is it polyamorous at times, or is it just one at a time? But it doesn't matter. His choice is to have that, you know, intense, passionate sexual union, but without the long term things that go with that. So this episode here, like, no right, no wrong, but most guys fall into the category of at least trying, wanting, desiring to create a long-term committed relating with their queens, with their women. But in a way that, you know, can you have it all? And my argument is that you can have it all, but you cannot have it all until you understand this concept, this idea, this actually inner world secret that I will introduce you to. It's not the first time I've spoken to this point here in the podcast. I've done an episode there middle of last year. But to be honest, it's one of these ones that I'll consciously keep coming back to it. Because if you've listened to it at the time, you probably haven't mastered it since then. And I don't say that in any disregard to your power as a man, but this is a concept of the highest spiritual teachings on the planet, actually. Have I mastered it? No. Has anybody ever completely, fully mastered this? Well, you know, ultimately you'll know by the moment of your death if you've really mastered it. It is that profound. And yet it's really applicable and totally essential to understand this as a man, if you actually want to have beautiful, long-term, committed relationships with your queen, with your woman, that's like you've got just a have-it-all type existence with them. There's an idea within you know, if you've done men's work or if you follow this podcast or you've read, you know, stuff like David Aida, Way of Superior Man, you know, there's other books detailing masculine, feminine relating. You know, even with men, I've noticed in my time in the last number of years, conversing, doing deep inner work, trainings and men circles, I've noticed that even men that have done even sometimes years of deep inner work, and it's like they can talk about masculine and what's feminine and they know the concept in a very real way, but they don't understand this. This is actually one of the biggest and the most important parts of bringing masculine and feminine wisdom into your life and thus into your relationship in a successful way. But the vast majority of men make this fundamental error. The error is that when we mention masculine and feminine, the mind almost by default makes masculine is male, man, you've a cock and balls, thus masculine. Feminine means woman, pussy, breast, yoni, you know, sacred words, all the different words, whatever words you want to call them. Woman, that's feminine. Most guys that have done this type of work, they intellectually know. Oh, it's like, oh, well, you know, within me, I've like masculine and there's feminine traits within a man. But it's to a point, it's almost like it's lip service. And any time, the vast majority of times in conversation, feminine, you'll just, I've noticed, I've observed, listening in, it's like feminine, anytime the feminine is related to, it's like it's the external feminine. So I'm going to bring clarity to this and what I'm meaning is, I'm going to introduce you this idea that, in my words, no absolute truth, but I find that it's, like this concept here is the one foundational concept that when I go into long-term deep agreements with powerful men, in my coaching, my one-on-one coaching, the highest service and offering I have professionally, you know, I work with, if you want to call them like high-achieving men in mission that have created massive outward success, but who still are struggling to create that success within deep long-term committed relationships, be it married or not married. It doesn't matter what the term is, but there can be a massive difficulty to transfer it over. It's really common that super successful guys in the outward mission world, corporate world, financial world, you know, business, entrepreneurship, they can have this supreme struggle to cross over their success in that realm into relationships. This foundational concept and making this clear within their minds and nervous systems is actually the perfect foundation from where every single one of them end up having sensational relationships with their queen from this foundational understanding. So when I say at the beginning, like without understanding this, you will suffer in relationships forever, I mean, it's quite dramatic, but it's actually true and to the point. There's a real core secret here. Also, putting my hand up, you know, it's, I want to lead honestly. There's in my own relationship transformation, it's what, 2.5-3 years ago. I'm saying 2.5 years quite a while in conversation, so I must start saying about 3 years ago. Time is flowing by beautifully, having fun. This concept here was the biggest breakthrough for myself as well. I know myself for years, I was relating like those guys that I've observed in deep men's work. I was relating to it intellectually within, but I was really predominantly projecting feminine is female, thus feminine was always about my woman. So from a personal perspective, professional perspective, and just in observations in, you know, in hundreds of guys around the world, this is really foundational. And without this awareness in your inner world toolkit of how you approach your relating with your queen, I mean, it's an uphill struggle. It's a true uphill struggle. And look, there's drama in relationships. You can carve out a full existence. Let me be clear here. It's like, I don't want to say right and wrong, make any come from any judgmental perspective. If the relationships you've had in the past, you're having now, if they're like full of drama, there's ups and downs, passion and arguments, and it's just super interesting and you love the whole drama thing, well, maybe you don't really need this concept, and that's okay. This is really just for the men of you kings listening in that are, you know, deep down, you know there's a next level. It might have been eluding you to this point. You might know how to reach that next level, and the level after that, and the level after that, and the unlimited levels of expansion and depth that exists. But there's a calling, there's a knowing in you that you want to expand into the mystery of love. This is really calling and speaking to you. The core thing I speak to here is I break up masculine and feminine into the primary masculine and feminine and the secondary masculine and feminine. Just going to slow down to speed up here. The primary masculine and feminine, that's within you. That's the masculine and feminine represented within your nervous system, your body, your inner world experience. It's the masculine and feminine embodied within me as a man, within all of you individually. There's a masculine, there are masculine parts to your psyche and nervous system and how you interpret and navigate in your inner world relating with the outer world. And the outer world, part of that is your woman in relationship. The secondary masculine and feminine, in my words, that's speaking to the most common understanding of it, which is masculine core. David Ida would say it's like 90% of relationships. The masculine core is embodied within the man. And the feminine, in the secondary masculine and feminine, the feminine is the woman. So the secondary masculine and feminine, man and woman, in relationship. Be it short term, long term, whatever. That's what I'm referring to. The most important of all of these, probably will get it in the wording, is the primary. Everything that happens within the primary masculine and feminine will be reflected upon the outer. The primary inner masculine feminine relationship within yourself and how you can bring harmony or not within your masculine and feminine inner world. From there, that will mirror out exactly the type of relationship you are able, the relationships you're able to create in the secondary. So if you're finding that there's a massive heap of drama or a total lack of fulfillment, there's lots of arguments, there's breakdowns in communication, you know, you can find maybe there's a lot of shame for you in your secondary masculine and feminine relationship, where deep down you feel inadequate, you feel unable, maybe there's sexual dysfunction or just lack of sex life. There's a lack of heat, a lack of empathy, maybe communication. There could be a lot of shame for that and inadequacy felt within yourself, where your inner critic takes you down very often. And there can be a lot of blame in it as well. From that base of shame, there can be a lot of blame that, you know, your woman should just, I don't know, be quiet, should just be more sensitive. It's her lack. It's her. She's so argumentative. She's always complaining all the time about you. Could you not just cut you some slack, etc., etc. So whatever it is, you know, just touching base with you as I do in this podcast, really want to slow down here. I invite you to reflect for a moment. And, you know, just reflect upon these questions. How is your relationship with your queen now? Second one is like, how is your sex life? Of course, there's overlap with those two questions, but like, how is that relationship panning out for you? You know, if you were to rate it out of 10, 10 being off the charts, unbelievable, amazing, 1 being, oh my God, it's dead. There's nothing there, or it's just catastrophically, like there's conflict strewn all over it. It's just 1 is like a desperate case scenario for how you're relating, communicating with your woman, with your queen, and how's the sex life. I've shared this before, you know, if a part of your mind is quite quick to give you, you know, quite a juicy high-end scores. Like, you're over 6, you're at a 7, an 8, maybe you've just given yourself a 9 or a 10. And my next question is, well, if your queen was in the room, let's say you were being coached by me and your queen was there present, and then, you know, you gave your confident immediate scores, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm at a 7, I'm at an 8 there in sex life, I'm at an 8 in relationship, what would your woman answer? Truthfully, what do you think she would answer in a confidential space where she had no fear of any rejection being caused greater than you, any argumentative backlash in defense from you? What would her honest answer be? No right, no wrong. This is just getting real. It's heroic humiliation. Again and again and again, guys, I bring you back to that point, heroic humiliation. There's kingly confidence and heroic humiliation. It's the balancers. Too much kingly confidence of, you've got your shit sorted, I'm at a 9 out of 10 in sex, I'm nailing it, I'm brilliant. Knowing and loving yourself, it's so important. But if you've too much of that, and too little of heroic humiliation, coming from humus, the ground of being where you're truly at, too much confidence with not enough humility of knowing where you're really at, where your growth opportunities are, well, that just slides into arrogance. And arrogant men do not end up embodying what a king embodies. Definitely not kings of freedom. So just slowing down there, you know, like, you mightn't have words on it. Maybe you have exact words. Maybe you have a number. Maybe you're like at a 2 out of 10 if you're being really honest. Or maybe, you know, your woman's answer might be a little bit more honest. Wherever your set point is in relationship with your woman on a level of communication, intimacy, sexual attraction in your sex life together, whatever it is, you know, we don't have to go into absolute specifics here. But that's your secondary masculine and feminine relationship. That answer has all to do with how you relate with your feminine inside of yourself. Now, masculine and feminine, I just want to sort of like build a bit of clarity, bit of revision for some of you. Maybe just it's a first time introduction into, like, you know, what masculine and feminine inside you as a man means. Masculine and feminine, there's like, there are qualities and traits within masculine and qualities and traits within feminine that are present in all men. For to describe the masculine, you know, masculine qualities, you might say, like, presence, leadership, directionality, you know, the man, the directional man, structure, habits. You'd be decisiveness is a core masculine trait. Expansiveness, spaciousness, logicality. The good old rational-minded man, the magician archetype, problem-solving being, nothing more juicy than to solve a problem with rational, logical thinking. Discernment. There can be, you know, the strong, disciplined man, assertive, the stability, integrity, and, you know, outer expression, like, we'd be, the masculine parts of us are the goal orientation, you know, the focus capacity when we just get locked in. Feminine characteristics within us is like being in the body. It's in your form. Love is feminine. Intimacy, receptivity, creativity, surrender, radiance and light. You can be, have like relational and empathy, feeling into the emotions of other people, and empathy within yourself, just feeling, totally feeling your felt, sensual, sensitive experience. You know, you're feeling your body, the emotional emergence of, you know, what's happening in your body. Sensuality is like when you eat, a feminine quality of eating is like, you know, if you think of a top chef, there's the feminine relating with food, you know, the taste and the touch and the texture of the food. It's like a sexual orgasmic experience. That's the feminine part of us, the intuitive, just the not having rational knowledge. It's this intuitive knowing. There's just, you just know, type of thing, and a nurturing element, your capacity to become soft in your body and nurture those around you. It can be, it's like, it's emotionality, I suppose, and there's a tenderness, there's a comfort with being, with enjoying pleasure in your body, being vulnerable, collaborating with people. That's a feminine trait where you like will bring, you know, people together and partnership. Whereas sort of the masculine, just one I might not mention in the free flow, you know, the masculine could, you know, the lone wolf style. I'll do it alone. It's directional. It's the boxer in training type thing. Another part of the feminine is like desire. It's like just this raw wildness and desire. So, there's the masculine traits and the feminine. Not male, not female. Masculine, feminine. The major issue for us as men in the modern world is so much of our feminine characteristics, the inherent, inbuilt, naturally set within the system capacities that we were born with, were shamed aggressively out of us growing up. Can you relate to experiences like from your dad, from your older brothers, from football coaches, from even from women? You know, it's like a lot of times women were caught up with the same thing. It's not all coming from men. But, you know, you fall down. Say this simple classic example, but you fall down, you hurt your knee, your leg, and you just start crying. I mean, like you could be 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age, but you're hurt. You're bloody hurt, and in that hurt, tears come. It's like, get up, you little girl. There again, shaming the external, secondary feminine, but it's like shaming you as a young boy. It's like, you shouldn't do that. That's for the other. Girls are allowed, you're not allowed. And what's not allowed in that moment is your feminine. It's your surrendering into the feeling of the moment. It's having, you know, just empathy within yourself that you're allowed feel. You're not allowed feel. You should be hard. You know, there are so many things that our fathers can say. Unwitting, well-meaning men, maybe in your experience, maybe there was no very little well-meaning there. It was really locked deep, deep, deep inside of him. Maybe there was a lot of aggressive, explicitly abusive behavior too, and it can be quite common. But a lot of the time, what was most triggerable in dysfunctional father-son relating is the suppression that the fathers would suppress the son's tenderness, his kindness, his desire to just hug his dad, to express love for his dad, or to, you know, to play with a doll. Oh, for heaven's sake, good God, no. I mean, in years gone by, anything of any sort of that could be termed feminine expression, that's the realm of girls. I mean, it was just really sometimes literally bet out, but definitely shamed out verbally. And as young boys, we just grew up knowing, okay, there's a set of behaviors that are appropriate for boys, and there's a set of behaviors that are totally inappropriate. And the totally inappropriate often, so often, was like the softness of just feeling love and being intimate and sharing vulnerably and being receptive. There again, it's just going through this list. Being relational, you know, opening up with people and sharing your feelings and what was going on in your world. There's so much shut down to that. Just flowing, moving, you know, dance. You know, a boy, oh, I just want to dance. Think about that, you know, a boy just wanting to dance. There's that famous movie, Billy Elliot, where, you know, a young boy is he ends up being a professional ballet dancer. But think about that. If I remember that film, it was set in Newcastle in the north of England. But, you know, think about yourself growing up. If you wanted to be a dancer, you know, that's the feminine in your body, you know, the sensitivity, the sensuality of, you know, expressing these emotional flowing movements of energy in your body. That's dance. How would your dad have responded to you if you said, hey, you know, instead of playing football or rugby or, you know, going jogging, running, going to the gym, weightlifting, getting strong, structure, masculine strength, you know, that leaning into those masculine acceptable traits, what if you just wanted to do art or sing, you know, share your feelings in song and in music, or dance. You know, what of, you know, growing up a little bit older, you know, expressing, oh, you wanted to become a nurse. You wanted to become a hairdresser. You wanted to become a model. You know, like a florist. Heaven forbid a young man would want to, you know, become a florist, flower arranging, etc., etc., etc. Now, I know, like, I'm not saying this. You know, plenty of men have actually done this. But can you relate that a lot of the feminine characteristics in you? I also want to honour, if this is a very new idea, this can actually be quite triggering for guys to be told that there's feminine qualities in you. A lot of, so sometimes guys can actually, you know, even just the idea of being told there are feminine aspects in you, it's triggering in and of itself. And that's okay. That's okay. If it's triggering, it just means there's been that much shaming of this part, these sacred parts of you. The vast majority of men can relate with this. They can relate that their dad, their older brothers, their uncles, the football coaches, sometimes women will say, oh, boy, you shouldn't be like that. That this sacred part of them was locked up. And what ends up happening, and if you want to look for evidence of it, look at suicide statistics around the planet. One man every minute around the planet commits suicide. The vast majority of time, if not, I would actually say every single time, the major issue there is these men, and I hold my hand up, I have shared here before, it's like I experienced deep suicidal ideation before, it's like going around with a fantasy, early mid-20s, intense bloody times. I had lone wolfed it to the point that, you know, my inner feminine world, my sense of love and acceptance of myself, all my emotional world, I was like an absolute chaotic mess inside. But it was the shaming of, I should have been a better man. I should have just had my shit together. My outer, I've got my shit sorted facade was crumbling. On the inside, I was like in desperation point. But what that desperation point was built upon was, I felt a total shame that my feelings were so catastrophically bad that it was easier to contemplate taking my own life than to just share with a fellow man to say, hey, I'm feeling desperate. I'm feeling so deeply sad inside. I'm having anxiety to the point at which I'm like, I have diarrhea most days of the week. There's all of this was going on. There was such shame. Such shame of what? My emotional inner world. My feminine. So, it's really important to sort of get the foundational understanding as to, well, why is it that we end up projecting all our attention on the secondary masculine and feminine. You know, it's like, I'm a masculine man, you're a feminine woman, I will relate with you. Because we have ended up so locked out of our own relating within ourselves, our own masculine and our own feminine parts, that we learn to shut down, you know? Get up and stop crying. Stop being a pussy. That means your feelings are not allowed. Your emotional expressions are not allowed. We stop showing. We harden up. We toughen up. We form whatever strategy, whatever we build a persona around us over the years, in our formative years of 0 to 8. We form a belief system. And from there, we add layers. We put more wallpaper on. We decorate the persona. But it's sort of set in stone, predominantly by the age of 8. And that personality that we grew up with, so often as men, it's like, I've got my shit sorted, outer shell, outer facade, I know who I am, and we try to enter relationships from there. Yet deep in the inside, we are really petrified. We have been conditioned that our emotions are not welcome, and that to express emotions, our feminine, is like, it's suicidal. It's socially suicidal. So it's just better off not coming from there. Yet, When you can't show your emotions, you can't enter into intimacy. And what is it that the external, the secondary feminine, yearns so much from the secondary masculine? Intimacy. You know, our women, our queen, a powerful woman, she's not going to be satisfied with just logical thinking, logical talking, decisiveness, all the masculine stuff. Even if you're shit hot, even if you're a millionaire, a billionaire, you could be a world number one in whatever your chosen field of endeavor is. She's not going to be satisfied with that. She's going to be yearning, seeking deeper emotional connection to know you, and that is intimacy. Into me, you see. Intimacy. That definition blows it all open. Yet think about it. If you have, and most men have to some level, greater to a greater or lesser extent, there's no right or wrong here. But most men, the vast majority, have a lockdown experience. We go into closure when the outside world wants to see inside of us. It's like, you know, our woman, your woman, have you found out? She'll ask you, how are you? She knows how you are. She's not, it's a hypothetical question. You've probably shut down your enclosure. She mightn't have these words, but your enclosure, you're blocking her out. You're stoic faced. She's after saying something. Something has happened. She knows full well, intuitively. She's read it like a nanosecond after you entered the room, after she's muttered that word, after you got off the phone. You're in shutdown. You're closing down. She knows emotionally there's some shit going down within you. She can be okay with that, but she knows you're not okay. And that's when she asks you, are you okay, honey? Have you had that? Like, honestly, place your hand up. Energetically. You know, does that happen? That you know, grudgingly. Maybe you've got to the point where you're playful, you know, going beyond the, oh, my woman is always right. You know, this sort of thing. It's like, ah, it's the last thing a man wants to admit. Yet, in the intimate, beautiful arena that we have here, most often they are right. They know within a nanosecond that emotionally we've been triggered. Something deep inside of us has been triggered. And they'll know it. They'll know it from our tone of voice, from where we're looking, from our posture, from how we hold our hands, our hips, our elbows, shoulders, the whole entire lot of it, the wrinkles on our face, the shape of our mouth, the flaring of the nostrils or not, everything. They know everything. And that's what's beautiful, but that's what's so threatening. And that is what creates such conflict long term in relationships. We're being scared to open our hearts and reveal the feminine within, we remain closed. And what we do from there is, like, we focus on the secondary masculine and feminine, which, if you think about modern, you know, modern marketing, films, music, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and fucking roll is what it's all about. It's all about the secondary. It's all about the top models, the top actresses, putting, you know, scantily clad clothes on them. And it's no, like, actually, whatever, you know, the expression of clothes, but it's all about the external. It's all about glamorizing the external feminine, the external woman, that it's all about makeup, the clothes, the shoes, the hairstyle. It's like, and it puts insane pressure. This is on an aside. It puts insane fucking pressure on our women to live up to subconscious expectations of what we're supposedly looking for. But actually, deep down, most guys aren't looking for that, really. But this is the game. The secondary feminine is, we're bombarded with conditioning that's what it's about. It's about tits and ass. It's about hot women. It's about the tan. It's about the, you know, the hot chick that is just like beside the guy with the Ferrari. He's free and able to do what he wants, and she just goes off driving into the sunset with him. Oh, what a lucky bastard. I mean, he has total freedom. You know, it's like... And it doesn't look like that in real life. You know, working with guys who are, you know, on a level, on a social level, astoundingly successful in their work, astoundingly successful financially. So often they have very little felt freedom in deep intimacy, in relationship. Actually, there's a lot of, the more success they have, the more expectations of their woman that they should be happy are really shattered. You know, when a guy has all the money in the world that to provide every single need for his woman and she's still pissed, that's a really intense thing for a woman to experience and for the guy to experience. So it shatters this secondary feminine idea is the way to fulfillment in relationship. The secondary, you could slow it down like this. It's like the secondary masculine and feminine relating, which is like, I'm the masculine, I'm male, you're feminine, you're female, we'll do this dance. If that's how you approach your relationship, it's like, you fill up my tank. You know, when you fill up my tank, woman, external feminine, we do this dance and you're all radiant and you're all sensual and you're all sexual and you say the right things to me, you laugh at my jokes and, you know, your tone of voice when you're in that form, you know, like you'll know when your woman is in that form. A lot of times in long-term relationship, that form doesn't show up so often anymore. It's like we talk about, oh, remember the honeymoon period, the good old times and early times. It's bullshit. It's just, it's because of this dynamic that it stops showing up as often. But in those moments when she's radiant, she's in her goddess form, she's looking sexy, feeling sexy, she's sultry, she's the seductress. Energetically, what we're relating as men, when we have no understanding of the primary masculine and feminine part within us, we're like, oh, you know, she's showing up like this, I'm happy she's showing up like this, I love my relationship. You will intensely love your relationship and you'd almost feel if it could just be like this all the time. So she shows up in a certain way, your tank of fulfillment, of happiness, of joy is full. But then she shows up in a way that empties your tank. She shows up and she like criticizes you. She calls you out. She makes a comment in public in front of friends that you think, well, that was just nasty. You should have been more sensitive. She's just maybe disinterested in sex. She, you know, you try to initiate making love. She rejects you. You feel rejected anyway. She empties your tank. You get pissed. So this is where, you know, the secondary masculine and feminine, it's like you're looking to your woman. You're looking to the relationship itself to fill your tank of fulfillment, of happiness, of joy, of feeling sexually fulfilled as a man, your cock and your balls, testosterone rippling, spiritual energy rippling through your body, every single cell dancing radically alive. You're pretending that your relationship should give you that experience. You're pretending that it's your woman's, can be subconscious, actually most of the time it is, but you're pretending that it's your woman's responsibility to like give you this feeling. She should show up in a certain way. You have expectations of how she should show up. And she should show up in a way that fills up your tank. That is what a good woman would do. How's that working out for you, by the way? If you can relate with that, how's that working out for you? I know in myself, first 12 years, 12 and a half years, and look, I go through different periods here, when I unwittingly show up from there, it stinks. It stinks. Every single time. The other way, the primary masculine and feminine, it's like, it brings it all on yourself. It's starting to understand that actually, because of being shamed so much in the beginning, and in the beginning is in your formative years, it's before your current woman even turned up on the scene in your life. So it actually, like when you really drop into the profound nature of this, your woman is off the hook. Like it invalidates any blaming you have, any finger pointing towards her forevermore. I speak to guys I coach. It's like, stop referring to the number of years together. Interestingly, today is our 14th year anniversary. So, you know, the loving reference to years gone by, shared together in relationship. I'm not meaning that. I'm talking about in the argumentative sense. For so many years, I was like, oh, with my queen, it was like, oh, like I'd refer to, oh, the 12 years together, the first 12 years together. And this in the last 2 years together, it's like we've done a lot of work. But I was referring to the first 12 years like it was like hardship. And I remember one time my queen just said to me, she's like, stop referring to 12 years. She's like, own your shit. She's like, Mark, all the struggles in the first 12 years. It was created from your first, well, like whatever age, or like first, your first 36 years. So like, start referring to that and be honest. Own your shit. And it was the energetic slap in the face I was needing. Remember, heroic humiliation, the hummus, the ground of truth, of where I stood. It has nothing to do with the number of years you're in relationship with your woman. What shows up for you, the so-called negative emotions, the pain, the rejection, the frustration, the downright sadness, the grief, all of it. That's just triggered by the woman you're relating with now. But it's triggered because the seeds of that emotion were sown 30 years ago, 50 years ago, depending on your age. First 8 to 10 years in your life, that's where the majority of your belief system, and your belief system is your paradigm of how you look at the world, how you perceive the world, interpret everything about your woman, everything about your reality. We're talking about relationships, so everything you perceive and are able to perceive and see and cognize in your mind comes from your belief systems of years ago. Primary masculine and feminine. So your work, ultimately, you will always have drama and suffering and struggle when you look to your woman to be the one to fill your tank. Your sexual fulfillment tank, your tank of feeling radically alive as a man. If you feel it's her job to do that, you're going to struggle massively. And you probably have found this in your relationships. Or relationship, whatever amount. If there's a pattern there, very often guys can have this pattern where it's like, oh wow, it's just mad, it's brilliant, it's beautiful in the beginning, and then it just dwindles. Again and again and again. It's not the fault, the blame is not with your woman. And it's not actually to say, well, the fault and the blame is yours. There's no blame. There's no fault. You're not faulty. You don't need to be fixed. But it is your entire response ability. It's your ability to respond. If your relationships, your experience of your relationships are showing up that there's a lot of drama and you're not yet anywhere near being fully satisfied by them, and you know, there's this love hate, it's like can't live with them, can't live without them. You know that there's some yearning for more love, more sexual connection, more intimacy. You just want to enjoy it way more than how it's showing up for you. That's your responsibility to do the inner work. Because, and this is why I speak, deep inner work. One of the most important things to have beautiful relationships. I talk about coaching. I mean, if any of you guys want to reach out, reach out. hello@kingsoffreedom.me. Check it out. Check the website. Take a look at the work that I'm doing behind the scenes to support guys between the membership and direct coaching, etc. By all means, I like the door is open there. I'm here to serve. Deep inner work. Time just slowing down to reconnect with your inner feminine. Reconnecting with your desire to feel loved. And like, in the sporting fields and the business world, etc., the financial, the markets. Imagine showing up at lunchtime and just looking at your colleagues and going, you know, they're asking you, oh man, you know, like, what's your goal for this quarter? Just to feel that I love myself. Just want to feel loved. Can you imagine? Maybe you have like a colleagues at work. Did you have an astounding relationship? If you have, I'm happy for you. But for the vast majority of men, can you imagine saying it in the canteen at work, in the cab, in the truck, on the way to the building site, in the sports locker room after the match, where there's just a bit of banter going on? What if your goal was just to feel loved? If your goal was, I just want to feel more empathy, guys. You know, I just want to feel more. Just want to learn to connect with my body and dance, you know, naked, whatever, you know, just taking dance lessons. Want to just be able to feel more pleasure, guys. You know, I just want to feel more pleasure. That's a sacred work. Deep men's work, finding a powerful men's circle, getting one-on-one coaching. reading, listening to this podcast, etc., whatever supports you dropping into, my words are, ferociously loving and accepting yourself. Your masculine and your feminine. The emotions that come up, learning to be able to release and relax into sadness when it comes up. Allow tears of grief to flow. Learning to embrace and hug in to the enriching, invigorating feeling of anger without feeling that you have to harden into aggression, which is judgment of others, and you need to harden and go and suppress it into frustration. Just allowing. It's like, hey, I'm feeling anger. And allowing yourself practice just speaking to that. Anger allows you feel what you're for. This is emotions. Getting out into nature. You know, surrendering into nature, into the softness of it, out of the busyness of the masculine, goal-oriented, logical world, which is beautiful, but out of balance, it disconnects us from these other sacred parts. Getting into nature, connecting with animals, with plants, with the seasons, with weather on your face. Be naked in an icy water lake, getting into under a waterfall, rolling around in the grass, looking up at the stars, at the moon at night. You know, like stuff that you did as a kid. Those beautiful experiences that you had as a kid. So often we did these things and we didn't know why we did them. But there's like, I'm looking at my kids and I look at, we're in part of an unschooling, homeschooling network. And I just look at the kids and the boys, how to play. Yeah, there's lots of the rough and the tough and the tree climbing and all of that. So if you want to say classic masculine, oh, boys being boys. But they have these beautiful expression where they're soft and gentle and they do art and they feel free. There's one family and they feel free. These rugged, robust, boisterous boys. There's like three or four boys in the family, but also like one of our girls is she's seven and it's her first boyfriend. He comes over and he's so rugged, so tough, but he's so soft and so he's so much empathy and feeling, and he draws art for her and he tells her I love you and he'll kiss her and he'll cuddle her and he cares for animals. He has this beautiful, sublime, divine display of masculine and feminine. I just find it so moving that, you know, that this boy is being allowed to express his whole repertoire of masculine, feminine inside. And thus, he actually is very comfortable at a very young age with relating in what seems like what I would describe a very dropped in, mature way with another girl. That's totally natural. Yet all of these experiences, we ended up slowly but surely being hacked out to the point of which, as, you know, adult men, we end up, you know, masculine. This is leadership and directionality and logicality. This is what brings success in the world. But it doesn't bring success. The more we hack away our connection with our inner, our primary inner inherent feminine, soft, intuitive side, the sensual side, the sensitive emotional side, we struggle to have anything that resembles the type, the depth, the expansive beauty and bliss and sexual connection that is possible within the external. So without understanding the difference between primary masculine and feminine and secondary masculine and feminine, unnecessary suffering is going to continue for you and thus by extension to your woman in relationship. When the magical energetic point happens, and it's possible for you, that you walk over energetically and psychologically the bridge where you leave behind the expectation that it's your woman's job to fill your tank, and you cross that bridge energetically and you just start focusing on the primary inner world, masculine and feminine, coming to ferociously self-love and accept yourself, your entire inner world expression so much that you are a feeling being, a feminine being, a masculine cord being, but you're so comfortable and at home with all your feminine parts, and you find ways to bring that into full expression. And ultimately, your way of relating with your queen becomes simple like this. your job, you know, and you take on as the king that you are, you take extreme ownership that it is your job and only your job to fill your own tank of love. And when you have it full, you enter into relationship. When you're in front of your woman, when you're making love with your woman, when you're kissing, when you're conversing, when you're just sitting watching a movie, you're sharing the pinnacle experience of what a man can offer a woman. You're sharing with her your fullness, your completeness, your integrated beingness, which is a man who's in love with himself, who every single cell in his nervous system, his physiological system, is just content and happy being with himself. And from there you kiss her, from there you make love her, from there you ask her, how are you, amore? From there you relate, you converse, you share that experience. That's the level of safety that will bring such yearning for you, such safety that your woman will melt into bliss every single time, such safety that her blind spots, her parts that, you know, projected, her defense mechanisms, her wounded parts, she will learn that the deepest healing presence in her entire life is you. That is the King of Freedom way. That is the way that you get to reveal the greatest power, your greatest sense of presence as a man, your greatest expression of love. It's truly a pinnacle point in human existence. Is it possible? Fuck yeah, it's possible. Does it make life interesting going for it? Yeah. Does it make it even more interesting that it's a road of mastery? There's no end point. Can you reach a 10 out of 10 sense of perfection? Maybe you can feel it in the moment, but like 5 minutes later in conversation, the feminine storm is going to challenge you when you're dropped. Maybe you just felt so much of a king that you drop your presence, and she's going to hit you an energetic smack with another comment that's going to challenge your ferocious self-love and acceptance and the full tank. And the game keeps on going. That is the game of deep intimacy. That is the game that kings of freedom choose to play. Primary masculine and feminine. Own your shit, king. When you start owning your shit, your shadow, and learning to ferocious your self-love and accept every single part of your being, the masculine, the feminine, and all everything else in between in your world, you're going to be able to navigate with a loving smile, with humor, with badassery, with confidence, with penetrating capacity to love your woman into bliss every single time and play that game, that dance, from now on, forevermore. For today, what has been said is perfect said as it is. Whatever remains unsaid will be said at another time when it will serve perfectly in that moment. Until then, kings of freedom around the planet, go have a beautiful, amazing kingly day.
Thank you for listening to the Kings of Freedom podcast. To receive no BS proven strategies to unlock limitless levels of peace, power, and purpose as you lead your family and create your have-it-all life, sign up now to the Kings of Freedom email list. Find the link in the podcast episode description or at www.kingsoffreedom.me.